Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And oh my gosh, I was doing my research about my guest, and I looked at her website, and I thought, this woman has the key to energy. And actually, she is resilient, which is what we're going to be talking about. So please join me in welcoming Eileen McDarr to our program today. Welcome, Eileen. How are you?
I'm great. And anytime I can talk with someone who is enthusiastic as you are makes me even better.
You know, we play off of each other, right? I mean, you know, you pick up that energy. And, you know, we're actually recording this in the afternoon for me. I'm in Atlanta. My coffee was a long time ago, so I'm just kind of like this. I know. This is just water, just pure water. So let me tell people a little bit about you, and then we will jump into this because we're going to have such a fun discussion. So Eileen McDarr is the CEO and Chief Energy Officer of the Resiliency Group. Since starting her consultancy practice, a little bit hard to say, consultancy practice in 1980, Eileen has become known as a master facilitator, an award-winning author, and an internationally recognized keynote trainer and executive coach. Her clients have ranged from global pharmaceuticals to educational institutions, from hospitals to the U.S. Armed Forces. Holy schmoly. She is the author of 7 books, including Your Resiliency GPS, A Guide for Growing Through Life and Work. Her newest book was released to great acclaim, and it is called Burnout to Breakthrough, Building Resilience to Refuel, Recharge, and Reclaim What Matters. For the last 6 years, Gurus International, a British-based provider of resources for leadership, communication, and sales training, has ranked Eileen in the top 5 of the world's top 30 communication gurus following a global survey of 22,000 business professionals. Oh my gosh. Eileen, welcome.
Sounds like my mother wrote that.
I know. You know, and it's always so much fun. Mine has now been done by AI. I, of course, you know, hear talk about me, and it came back with these glowing terms. I was like, well, cool, that's fun.
Never tried it.
I know. Well, I always like knowing how it is that my guests got to where they are today. How did you decide that resiliency was your passion in life?
Well, in the beginning, actually, but I would never have called it resilience.
Right. Okay.
My field has always been in the field of communication, which is Global Gurus had that ranking. I taught school at a rural community at the Florida-Georgia border, which I loved. I worked for a national healthcare company, handling, you know, their product, and then for a PR firm, and got to the place, Deb, where if I wrote another press release, I was going to throw up.
I'm with you on that, sister.
Couldn't do it. And so I left. And that actually was 42 years ago. And in the process, when I left, people said, well, how could you do that? I said, I hated it. And that's where my first book came from, which is called Work for a Living and Still Be Free to Live. It's no longer in print. But the concept is, why are you doing work that drains you, that you like? So at the time, I wasn't calling that resiliency. But it was, I didn't like it.
And so it was soul sucking.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. I didn't care if some CEO got his or her picture on the cover of the Wall Street. What I cared about was, how are they interacting with the people that were in the office? That's where I felt so many things weren't right. Anyhow, out of all of that, I quit. Mm-hmm. And I had just married my precious husband, adopted his three children. Mm-hmm. And between the two of us, we had no money. And we were married about a month. And I had this dream, Deb. Mm-hmm. I saw myself, maybe you can envision this, mm-hmm. where you're kind of half awake, half asleep.
Right.
And I saw myself on the edge of a cliff. Mm-hmm. And I heard this voice say, jump. Okay. Mm-hmm. I woke up. Mm-hmm. I slapped Bill. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm quitting.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, but we have no money. We've been married a month.
I don't know, but I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And this is probably why we've been married 44 years. Mm-hmm. He said, don't worry. We will always be okay. Mm-hmm. So that started me out on a journey. Mm-hmm. At the time, I wouldn't have been able to phrase what it was, but mm-hmm. what I was looking for mm-hmm. was, what is it that feeds my heart?
Right.
What is it at the end of the day, mm-hmm. I feel like I've made a contribution? And so in the process, I did a couple programs for the community college, mm-hmm. which they would offer to continuing education to mm-hmm. adults. Mm-hmm. And a meeting planner out in the Palm Desert area of California said, got a hold of the course catalog mm-hmm. and said it was called The Art of Persuasion. And she said, I have the Steel Service Center Institute mm-hmm. from Cleveland, Ohio coming in. Mm-hmm. They want to know, would you come and do this program in an hour? Sure.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. What do you charge? Mm-hmm. George, would you get money for that? Because when you do it for the community college, you don't get
money. Right. It's, yeah, it's free.
And so I said, fingers crossed, $7,500.
Wow. That. And this is 40-ish years ago.
Yes. Whew. Called me back a couple of days later, and she said, you're on. I'm going. And I had enough sense of mind to know that I needed to talk to the executive director mm-hmm. and say, okay, give me the situation.
Right.
Tell me what it's like. Why do you want this topic? Mm-hmm. What are some of the issues? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah. So when I talked to this guy, we had a great conversation. Then he said, and we'll be mailing out the check for $1,500.
Oh,
what do you mean $750? Mm-hmm. You know, Hank, deposit. Mm-hmm. And I called the meeting planner in the desert. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Eileen, we always mark up outside vendors. Mm-hmm. 100%. Well, I learned two lessons there, Deb. Mm-hmm. Number one, no one is ever going to say what I'm worth other than me.
Right.
The second lesson mm-hmm. was, we're only going to pay $1,500.
Yes. And you'd never done this.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, they gave my name. I did a couple things for them. They gave my name to the Brass and Copper Institute, to this, to that.
Wow.
And then before you know it, mm-hmm. what I was doing was I was lecturing on communication and leadership. Mm-hmm. And in retrospect, what really put this, and this is where the resilience comes mm-hmm. from, is that if you are managing an organization and you are doing well and you're doing well yourself, mm-hmm. what you are creating is an energy force field.
Yes.
And if you think about it, what is energy at its base definition mm-hmm. is the capacity to do work. Mm-hmm. And so what moved it over to the world of resiliency is when 9/11 hit the United mm-hmm. States. Mm-hmm. And I watched myself. Mm-hmm. My neighbors, and we did well with that. But mm-hmm. what I saw, and it's interesting, is that when times are tough, it's not that you have some great government over here that does mm-hmm. something, but that individuals say, I can do something about that. Mm-hmm. I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can do that. Mm-hmm. And we had kids selling, you know, brownies down on the street. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, fly me in. They said, well, no, our law firm said you can't fly in. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm afraid to fly. Mm-hmm. You need me mm-hmm. more than ever right now. Mm-hmm. You need me.
Right.
And that's where this refining this whole notion of resiliency came. Mm-hmm. Because I define resiliency very different from the dictionary. Mm-hmm. The dictionary, if you were to open up Webster, it would say, I'll paraphrase, but the capacity of an object when deformed under stress resumes its original position when the stress goes away. Mm. Well, that's fine.
Right.
Right. Piece of metal. Mm-hmm. It's not enough for us, Deb.
Right. Because we don't want to go back to where we were.
Well, and we can't. Mm-hmm. You are different with everything that I now know about you. You are different today mm-hmm. than you were a week ago, mm-hmm. than you were a month ago.
Right. We all are.
Mm-hmm. We all are. And so the notion that you have to go back mm-hmm. defies our capability as mm-hmm. a human organism.
Right.
So I define resiliency as the ability to grow mm-hmm. through
right.
challenge mm-hmm. or opportunity. So you end up wiser, better, smarter mm-hmm. on the other mm-hmm. side. Because if I say that at the end of the day, resiliency is about energy management. Mm-hmm. We need energy when things are difficult.
Right.
We need energy when you have this great opportunity. Mm-hmm. How am I going to do this?
Right.
And that opportunity can be anything from a promotion mm-hmm. to you've just been given a new assignment over mm-hmm. here mm-hmm. to you just had your firstborn mm-hmm. kid. Mm-hmm. You know. So all of it at the end of the day, to me, always comes back to what gives us energy, what depletes our energy. Mm-hmm. And that resiliency, to me, is a life skill.
Right.
You don't get it. Say, okay, done, next. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we can learn to be resilient.
You know, the word I use is cultivate.
Okay.
And let me tell you why I use cultivate. If you think about it, are you a gardener?
Oh, kind of.
You know gardens.
Yes. I watch what my husband does. Let me put it that way. My husband is a gardener.
Okay. So your husband would mm-hmm. say with this. If you have a plot of land, mm-hmm. first you got to cultivate it, which right. means you dig stuff up mm-hmm. mm-hmm. and you get rid of the roots and you mm-hmm. get rid of the bad stuff. And blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then you put the fertilizer, whatever, and then okay. you plant the seeds.
Right. Okay.
You have to weed. Feed mm-hmm. and fertilizer. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it works and sometimes mm-hmm. it doesn't.
Right.
When I think about cultivating resilience, mm-hmm. it is how do we till the soil mm-hmm. and discover what are the things that are keeping me from growing this plant?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How do I feed it? Mm-hmm. How do I seed it? Mm-hmm. How do I weed it sometimes?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that it can flourish. So to me, you don't cultivate a garden once and say, that's it. We'll eat mm-hmm. off of the garden now and forever. Because mm-hmm. it's always different.
Right.
So it's really living. And as you and I spoke before the show, it's really living in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Say, what gives me energy? Mm-hmm. What depletes my energy? Mm-hmm. And how do I refill that?
Right. And it is about refilling it because it does get depleted. You know, what we were talking about before the program started, I am kind of the energizer bunny. I have this level of energy almost all the time. But when I crash big. And it's because of physical things I have been through and just all sorts of things. And that happened yesterday. It was one of those where I did not want to get out of bed. I had some little online bullying that was happening, you know, just some stuff like that. And I was going to have a pity party. And I did. I had a pity party. And, you know, it was, and I tell people, because I talk to people who were diagnosed with cancer or people who know them. And I tell them, it's healthy to have a pity party. It is healthy to grieve and be angry and all of those things. But we got to get out of that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's no time frame to that either.
Right.
I just wrote on my LinkedIn, I have a LinkedIn e-sign and I call it Hidden in Plain View. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about grief because I've had too many people who have passed away. And I thought, you know, it is, how do we deal with grief? And mm-hmm. if you are in an organization mm-hmm. and you're a manager, mm-hmm. one of the things we all want out of our organizations, out of our teams, out of our managers. Do you know me as a person?
Mm-hmm.
You treat me as a person. Mm-hmm. And what is the most personal thing that can happen to us is grief. Mm-hmm. It's loss.
Right.
And so to have someone who is on my team and say, yeah, I just heard this. What can I do for you? Mm-hmm. How you do?
Right.
And there's no, there. Like I said, there's no time frame. Mm-hmm. And so when people say, oh, you'll just get over it. Mm-hmm. I want to slap them.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it comes back too. I mean, that's the other thing is it can, you know, we can strike at some of the weirdest moments. You're like just all of a sudden overwhelmed. It might be a scent, a sound, a song. And you all of a sudden remember that person again, you know, or the life you used to have. you know, things like people who lost their jobs, right? Whether they chose to or not, you're going to grieve that. You know, obviously divorces, things like that. You grieve those things that you lost.
And as you said, you know, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to go to bed and pull the covers over your head and mm-hmm. say, I'm not moving. Mm-hmm. If you stayed there for the next 3 years, that would not be okay.
Right, right.
So it is acknowledging this is part of my growth. Mm-hmm. It's part of my growth cycle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in order, you know, I'm kind of, that's funny that you said Energizer Bunny, because sometimes I've been called that too.
Oh, yeah, I knew you had, just looking at your videos online.
And there are times in which I have two speeds, full speed ahead and stop. Mm-hmm. And when I stop, you better get out of the way because I'm falling flat over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in bed anywhere between 6:30 and 7:30 at night.
Yeah.
Now, that's because we also get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Oi, oi.
So but this is what I've learned helps my system. Mm-hmm. Is at 4:30, my precious husband brings me coffee in bed. So cute.
He is a keeper.
Yeah, he's a keeper. So I meditate for about 20 minutes mm-hmm. and then I go for a 5 to 6 mile run. Mm-hmm. And when I come back, Deb, my brain, my heart, my body mm-hmm. present.
Right.
And then I can start my day.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when things throw off that routine, that's where, you know, sometimes it's easy to get it back and sometimes you're just off all day.
That's true. And, you know, we're looking at this from a leadership, from a business perspective. Mm-hmm. I think some of the best managers that I've ever worked with understood that making that connection, because that's what gives us energy. It's a connection.
Right.
You know, bad connection, mm-hmm. it goes. Mm-hmm. They understand and how to create that human connection. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to do with the itemized things on a performance mm-hmm. sheet, but it has to do more with how do we understand each other.
Right.
And they have, I've had the privilege of working with some amazing leaders mm-hmm. who would give me carte blanche to help bring their teams along. Mm-hmm. And when we would do these things, I would understand my process. This is one of the facilitation things. Because what you want to do is you want that team to walk out of it. If it's a 2-day, mm-hmm. 3-day max, but mm-hmm. 2 days full, you want them to walk out with the sparks flying.
Right.
With ideas, mm-hmm. but with a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I always start, and I never know where this is going to go. Mm-hmm. I always interview every one of the players and ask them a set of questions. And it's everything from, how would you describe your job? Mm-hmm. What do you want people to know about that you do that you don't think anybody knows? Uh-huh. If you were the manager of the department, what would you do? Mm-hmm. What do you see the future holds? So I get all these answers. Mm-hmm. And then I condense them into a 5x8 mm-hmm. index card. Mm-hmm. Nobody has quoted.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's all safe.
Teams. Because, you know, you've been with some groups, just somebody who just wants to harp over the fact that, okay, in the cafeteria, they sure serve too many noodles. Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about noodles.
No.
Mm-mm. So I don't want the team, mm-hmm. when they see the thing. Mm-hmm. And nobody, you know, it's just amazing mm-hmm. how people recognize this is what this is mm-hmm. about. And then we have the conversations. Mm-hmm. But before we have the conversations about what, you know, what I have found out, and I give it to them. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking now they are. Mm-hmm. I also want them to be able to see each other as full humans. Mm-hmm. And one of the last ones I did, I think we had about 26 people maybe. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want you to tell me your favorite song. Number two, I want a picture of you as a teen or a toddler. And the third thing was, if you could be anything in the world, mm-hmm. what would that be? Mm-hmm. And in the course of this, I think it was 2.5 days, I would throw up like a piece of music. Mm-hmm. I downloaded all their mm-hmm. songs. And then, so I'd say, well, so who do you think this is their favorite song?
Mm-hmm. Did it ever match? Did they ever guess it right?
You know what's hysterical? The very first one was, it was a head song from the 60s. It was, Anna Garden to me. And they look like, who is this? Mm-hmm. It was the only attorney in the group.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I love that. That's funny.
And then I would put up a picture. See, because we all have been teen and toddlers. We've all been there. Mm-hmm. So I'd put up a picture of someone, mm-hmm. a baby picture. Mm-hmm. I'd say, who is this? Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun them to watch them trying to guess mm-hmm. who was that teen or who was right. that toddler. Mm-hmm. And then the third set, and this is interspersed with them having, you know, the serious conversation mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. was what would you, if you could be anything, what mm-hmm. would you want to be? And when I would put that up, mm-hmm. then they would look around and say, God, who would that be? Mm-hmm. And then they'd have these interesting conversations. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that you could discover is, are there ways that we can bring who you would like to be if mm-hmm. wishes were kings?
Right.
We bring some of that into the work mm-hmm. you do now. Mm-hmm. So while we were dealing with issues, we were also creating this connection of energy mm-hmm. so that they understood mm-hmm. each other.
Right. And it was positive energy as opposed to the noodles in the cafeteria.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. But it increases to me the resiliency, the capacity mm-hmm. to grow mm-hmm. when I begin to create those important connections.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Now, you know, but I'm guessing that there are the skeptics of the world who say, but Eileen, we are here to get a job done, to make a product, make a service, do whatever. And I don't care what somebody does in their private life. We don't need to know that. What do you tell those people?
Then I don't think I'm the person for you.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Especially because they've got their walls up so much that it's not going to matter.
You know, and I have had that happen. I had one guy, oh my God, this was a million years ago. Mm-hmm. It was an insurance company. Mm-hmm. And he sat there, and we didn't go to all of them because I didn't have that amount of time. Mm-hmm. But he had his arm.
Uh-oh, the body language.
Mm-hmm. And I said, I called him on it. Mm-hmm. I said, it appears that you're not very happy right now. Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell me what's going on? See, nobody calls him on it.
Right, no.
And, you know, Deb, for all I know, I don't think it was ever asked back again. Mm-hmm. But I have to be real.
Right.
I have mm-hmm. to be in that moment. Mm-hmm. I had another group one time where they had two guys there that were very cynical and had mm-hmm. biting humor. Mm. And I called both of them aside. Mm-hmm. And I said, you can either make this work mm-hmm. or you can dim it.
Right.
Let me tell you what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And my request is you either become aware of it and stop, mm-hmm. or you have my permission to leave.
Yeah, there's the door.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. And what's interesting is what a difference that makes when mm-hmm. somebody calls them.
Right.
On their behalf. I mean, mm-hmm. God, I don't want to do that.
No.
I have an obligation to those pretend
twice. Right. Who want to be there.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. So. But all of this, and I think there are four resiliency skills, which
okay.
we can talk about those too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because in this capacity to grow our human energy, mm-hmm. to grow forward, mm-hmm. And there are four: adaptability, agility, laughability, and alignment. Mm-hmm. And so we do that individually. Mm-hmm. We can do it collectively. Mm-hmm. And it will vary based upon the season that I'm trying to plant, mm-hmm. based upon the ground that I'm trying to
right.
mm-hmm. toil. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Till.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're tilling the ground. Yes. You're tilling. Doing, you're toiling and tilling. That was it.
That was good. That's good. I like that. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the last 4 years, you talked about September 11th. Well, then, of course, you know, March of 2020, the world changed again.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and it's never going to go back. I mean, you know, I always love people that say, I wanted to go back to normal. Well, sorry, that doesn't exist anymore.
It's so normal.
I tell people, I am probably one of the best examples of there is no normal. I call it my normal, my new normal, right?
I like that.
Yeah.
I want to quote you.
I believe that's Garfield the cat. But that's all right. You can quote Garfield. But it's the same thing. You know, that day is done. You know, and it was funny because right on Friday, everybody was at work. On Monday, they weren't. And everything drastically changed. And in so many ways, it has, you know, it has stayed like that. You know, a lot of companies stayed virtual or they are doing a hybrid, all sorts of different things. So what have you seen is the shift?
Well, I remember the day, it was March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day. It was the day.
Because we were all supposed to go out and do stuff for St. Patrick's Day. Those of us with red hair, especially.
That's an interesting question. I'll tell you what I see has shifted is what we are willing to do for work and what we are not willing to do.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say what we are willing to do, I think, well, let me backtrack for 1 minute. You know, my last book was Burnout to Breakthrough, Building Resilience to Refuel Recharge. That whole burnout piece, which was really identified in 2019 by the United World Health Organization, it declared it to be a global occupational hazard. Right. Everybody was burning it.
They were working 900 million hours a day.
And so when the pandemic hit, it pulled back. How am I working? Why am I working? Does it make a difference? And so I think what that did is it made people reflect and to think a little bit deeper. Actually, that also happened in 9/11 here.
Right.
Where I was reading articles of people who suddenly said, you know what? I'm a hot shot in the Hollywood industry. I don't do this anymore.
Right.
It's not important anymore. So I think that what it did is it was one of those kind of like a slap on the side of the face, mirror in front of you that said, what am I doing and why am I doing it? And I think the organizations that do well, again, were the ones who said, how do I understand you individually? How do I create this team? Whether we do it as a hybrid model, whether we do it as virtual. And there's a skill to doing virtual.
Right. Because it's actually very difficult because you can't pick up on body language and all sorts of stuff like that. And I could just turn my camera off. Right.
And you do see that in some of these virtual things, the person doesn't put up their camera. Or the worst part is they put up their camera and you realize what they're doing is they're doing something over there.
You know, they're looking off.
So, you know, if I were hosting a virtual meeting, not a training, virtual training is different. But if I were doing a virtual meeting, I would have some very obvious requests. Number one,
the camera's on.
Cameras on, test the microphone. And then we have, and you don't want a huge thing, but you can divide them and, you know, you break out rooms so they get to talk to each other.
Right.
It's still, I mean, my preference is still face to face. It always has been. I mean, that's, you know, that's one of the things that I love about speaking. You know, is that you're looking out at this audience and I can look in their eyes and I can say things and they respond.
You pick up on their energy.
I know. I did. This was way before the pandemic. I guess the largest audience I've had is about 15,000.
Wow.
You know, everybody thinks that's a lot. You know what? You could only see the first two rows.
This is true. I know. You know, and everybody else, you can hear them, but yeah, the lights are there and
You can hear them. And I could, I was the closing speaker and I could build on the people who came before me. And I could ask questions and you can feel energy. It comes back from them and how, you know, and I'll give them some small exercise so that they interact with each other and they exchange energies. Because just sitting there listening is energy training.
Well, and you're the last speaker. They're worn out. They've been sitting there for however many hours.
I told them the scariest thing was I realized that I was the only thing between the bed or the bar. So the hanging, I'll let you go. That's anyway.
But yeah,
so that's kind of the shift, and it's like you said, you know, there is no normal, and now that we're looking at what some of the technology will do, That's going to change some of the workplace.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In my mind, the verdict is out for me as far as AI. Because it can be abused in so many ways.
Oh, yeah.
And as a writer, I like to use my words, which isn't to say that I can't get some good ideas. But that's gonna happen. Some other issues, that in any event, and one of the things that the teachers are noticing is that they're now having. This is a global statement, so it might not be true everywhere. Mm-hmm. But a number of things that I have picked up and read is that teachers are asking kids to write their papers in the classroom.
Ah, so that they know that they are doing.
Mm-hmm. They can't go out and use what other people have said. Mm-hmm. I heard this one woman, she's in my professional association. She said, I just wrote a book. Really? I did it in 2 days. Really? Yes, through AI. What she did is she took everybody else's ideas.
Right. Yeah.
Together and said, this is fine. As an author, excuse me, I call that stealing.
Right. You know, I do my blog posts that way, but I've given it a direction to go in, right? Obviously, it doesn't just go off and do this. But for me, it's a first draft.
That's a good idea.
You know, and because I don't know what that word means, so I probably wouldn't use it. And things like that. But yeah, it is a good way to get me started. Otherwise, I just, you know, I'm like, I will find every other reason in the world to not be doing it. But it is kind of scary. I mean, I noticed the other day I was watching TV and probably. And this was just a total guess on my part. One of every four commercials, the actors were not real.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, because when you start really looking at it, you can pick up because they you don't see them breathe, right? And part of that is AI just hasn't advanced that far. But I live here in Atlanta, and you know the second biggest Hollywood the production, and of course that's a big concern here is the actors, the writers, all of those, and I can see why they're concerned because, yeah, when I started noticing, and it could just be that my TV settings were a little weird and I don't know, but yeah, it was like, those are not real.
I have a friend who actually now he is a expert witness on deep fakes.
Ah.
You know, in a court of law.
Mm-hmm. And into this political season.
Well, that's scary. You know, you can make anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, because I know we're going to run out of time. Should we talk about the four skills?
Yes, let's talk about the four skills because, see, this is why I set a timer because you and I are going to talk forever. But yes, so let's talk about the four skills and then we can ramble afterwards.
All right. Well, let me do this and then you can say, okay, that's enough. That's enough. But let me take the first skill.
Yes.
Adaptability. Mm-hmm. Okay. Adaptability, what makes it real is a word called requisite variety.
Okay.
Requisite variety comes from the field of biology. And it says the organism with the greatest number of responses to any situation is the one that survives.
Right.
So, for example, if you and I were going to play chess and you knew 10 chess moves and I knew two, you're going to win.
Right.
So the notion of adaptability is how many different ways can I respond to the situation, to the event, to the person. So when I think about adaptability, first thing is, what is it I'm saying in my head? Because everything starts up here anyway. And so I like to say, first and foremost, particularly if you frame it under burnout, is instead of saying, I have to do this, I'm choosing.
Right. I get to do this.
This is choice is so big because people say, well, I have to do that. You know, you don't have to. You're choosing. I say I choose. I didn't have to come and talk to you today. This is my choice. I want to do it. It puts a whole different energy field around have to. The next thing is to say, what is it that drains my energy and being adaptable? And in that case, it could be, it's the same old thing.
The rules.
And I got to tell you, there is more stuff that goes on, Deb, that is, why are you doing that? Does that make any sense? And we got stuck. We don't even know we're stuck.
But this is the way we've always done it.
It is. And I got to tell you, if you want to drain people's energy, give them some stupid thing because it's what we've always done. Back way, way, way back when AT&T was such a big organization. Mm-hmm. There's one guy who spent, I think it was 3 days out of the month, creating this massive report, mm-hmm. which they disseminated through the organization. Mm-hmm. And then somebody asked a very interesting question. Do you read it?
No, nobody read it. Mm-hmm.
But it's the way we've always done things.
Mm-hmm. So, and it keeps Bob his job.
That's right. You know what? And Jim, what's something better than that? Mm-hmm. The other thing that will drain our energy for being adaptability mm-hmm. is negativity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's...
You can't do that.
No. That's dumb, stupid, terrible, horrible. Mm-hmm. Is there mm-hmm. another way to look at that? Mm-hmm. I might have preferred something different, but is there a different way
right.
to look at that? Mm-hmm. And what helps us to be adaptable, not only is what is it that we say to ourselves in our head, how do I choose? You know, am I stuck in the past? You know, am I being negative? But also then to listen to your heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, the heart now we call the little brain. Mm-hmm. And we realize that the heart and the brain actually talk to each other. Mm-hmm. They talk to each other. And there are times in which my instinct will tell me something that my mm-hmm. head says is stupid.
Oh, happens all the time.
And more often than not, I'll make mm-hmm. a mistake. Mm-hmm. Well, this is logical. Indeed. Mm-hmm. But my gut, mm-hmm. my instinct said, that's not mm-hmm. the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I think the more we can learn to listen to our heart mm-hmm. helps us to become adaptable.
Right.
Using that heart energy, mm-hmm. how is it that I connect mm-hmm. you? Mm-hmm. If we can do that. So that's just kind of a real, mm-hmm. by the way, you can see how this changes if the situation changes. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I choose, I don't. Mm-hmm. So if I'm, then the second skill is agility. Mm-hmm. And agility has to do with speed coupled with wisdom. Mm-hmm. How fast can I look at what's going on around me mm-hmm. and what are my choices? Mm-hmm. And can I action is the antidote for anxiety. Mm-hmm. If I become anxious, mm-hmm. I'm frozen. Okay, mm-hmm. so what am I going to put in action? This sounds crazy. And I told you, I think I said, maybe I said this when we were talking before about how I get up mm-hmm. and I have my meditation and then
yes,
I
yes, at 4:30. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That action centers me for the mm-hmm. day. So what is it that you could put in motion? And one mm-hmm. of when we feel our life is out of control, that we mm-hmm. have no energy, the fastest way to bring it back is to do with something with our physical body.
Right. Take a walk. Do a jumping jack.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I can see and feel change in my body mm-hmm. more than I can necessarily feel change mm-hmm. in them. The other thing I suggest is that people do a CAT scan. Mm-hmm. And that's my term. I made it up. Mm-hmm. It means check what claims your time. Assess why and how, and is it of value? Mm-hmm. She has to take action. Mm-hmm. And I will guarantee you, Deb, much of what you and I do in the course of a day, we have no clue that we're doing this. We have no clue where we're going. Mm-hmm. So years and years ago, I came up with this model for people to begin, mm-hmm. you know, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, just write. Mm-hmm. What time? Mm-hmm. What am I doing? Who am mm-hmm. I doing? And nothing. Don't make it a monument and paper mache, you know, just little teeny things. Mm-hmm. And the first time I tried this, I designed this and I realized how much time I was sitting on a national board. Mm. I thought, no idea how much time this was taking. Mm-hmm. And for where I was at that point in time in my life, it was value. Mm-hmm. And I resigned. Mm-hmm. But until I did that, mm-hmm. I had no idea where this priceless thing.
Yeah, because it was a little here, a little here. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Was going. Mm-hmm. And so then another part is learning to develop horse sense. Horse sense is the ability to say nay. Mm-hmm. And particularly women, Deb, mm-hmm. we have a hard time doing this.
Right. No is a full sentence, ladies.
I know. It is. But we're like this little bobblehead. Mm-hmm. Because, well,
we're
so helpful. We're so helpful. And they won't like me if I say no. Mm-hmm. You can say no or not now. Mm-hmm. How can we do this differently? Mm-hmm. So all of that is under this notion of agility,
okay.
of looking at this action. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The third skill is laughability. Mm. Which you and I have already talked about.
Yep.
Laughability is a great energy creator. Mm-hmm. The more we can laugh, there's something about the endorphins of laughing. It brings the spirit alive. Mm-hmm. It does give you energy.
And it helps heal us.
Yes. I mean, with Norman Cousins, probably many people who are on this call have no clue who Norman Cousins was. But that is that is what he discovered when he was going through some illness. That if he could laugh, he got better fast. So laughter, you know, whatever you do to laugh, people who look like they were weaned on a pickle. No, we got to laugh about this stuff. Laugh about this. So, but it's the ability to laugh. And then the fourth one, which actually in some ways is the base for everything, is alignment. And alignment says, am I lined up with that which is most important to me? And that it might take years to figure out what is, why am I here? What am I meant to do? I hear that over and over again. And maybe it was caused by the pandemic that, does my life matter? And you know, now we have some people that says, as long as I have my Ferrari, I'm fine. Perhaps. But for many of us, it's what, why am I here? So I can help individuals go through an assessment that says, why? How do I show up? Can you count on me for? So my why is it need to make sense. How I do that is I challenge the status quo. There's a better way. But ultimately, what you can count on me is contribution. And if I don't feel I can make a contribution, that's why to that person said, no, you can't go.
Right.
I'm not the right person for you.
And that's the horse sense part.
It is the horse sense. That is true. You're absolutely right. It is the horse sense. And so those are the skill sets that, just like if you go to a gym, Deb, you don't pick up a 50-pound weight.
No.
You start with five. Maybe 10. Oh, it's up to your arm. Well, now I'm going to go back to five. It's the same. It's, it's almost like a muscle that we develop over time, that we cultivate. We feed, seed, and weed. You know, and so it's a life skill that will constantly be shifting because our life constantly shifts.
Right. You know, and I like alignment. And I think alignment in particular is something that, as you were saying, especially after COVID, the whole alignment thing, you know, is what I'm doing aligned with what I want to be doing? And now I was watching one of your videos and I actually wrote a note down on this because I just, I got the biggest kick out of this, that sometimes working is the penalty that we have because we didn't marry rich. I just thought that was the funniest thing. But you know, it is one of those things. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Now, sometimes it is, I need a job. I need insurance. I need that paycheck. Okay. But then what are you going to do with that?
Right. Right. You know, I've, in my first book, I wrote, a job is what you do for a paycheck. Work is what you do for a life. It would be ideal if they can be synonymous. Sometimes not.
No.
This job is what it's what's, you know, paying for my kids. This job is what's paying for the insurance. Where is my work? What is it that will give me a life? Because I can't just stop. I can. It's a choice. But what is it that would feed my heart?
Right. What brings you joy?
It does. Do we have time for me to tell you a really short story?
Of course we do.
So we have a great hardware store where I live in Dana Point. It's independently owned. It's not one of the chains. They've been, I think they opened the doors like in 1947. And I'll tell you, if you can't find it in that hardware store.
It doesn't exist.
And you could walk in and say, see this little tiny screw? Do you have something like this? They know exactly what's in there. The other day, I walked in and I needed a nozzle for the hose. And I carried, I had this funky ceramic piece that's set out in our porch. And it's a little monk who's asleep on his elephant. I've had it for years. And it's just all the stuff is coming off of it. It looks terrible. And when I showed it to the gentleman there, he began to tell me how he could fix it for me. And in the course of conversation, this is what got me. It was Father's Day. And somehow he said, this reminds me of my two children whom I lost. What happened? He lost two children to cerebral palsy. cerebral palsy, if you have full blown, there's no control over your body.
No.
You cannot speak.
Mm-hmm.
They, one child lived to 24, the other one died at 30,
mm-hmm.
which meant that mom and dad had to do everything for those
children. For them, for, yeah, 24 everything. And 30 years.
Mm-hmm. For, and that's like poop, pee, feed, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said, it was the greatest privilege mm-hmm. of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cry even thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a man mm-hmm. who might be working in a hardware store. Mm-hmm. But what gave him purpose was not only taking care of those children,
mm-hmm.
but he also uncovered the reason they had two children mm-hmm. with this was a chemical. It was put out by one of our chemical companies.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. It is used to spray around.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to this gentleman, that chemical is no longer on the market.
Wow. Now that's a purpose.
That's a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's a purpose. Mm-hmm. I'll never, but I just, that whole story
mm-hmm.
just is in so mm-hmm. many levels is mm-hmm. so.
Right. Yeah. You know, and I think that's one of the sad things maybe about a lot of people is they never find their purpose, or they know what it is and they're too scared to go after it.
That could be. I think there are many, many, many people who are looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
I belong to something called the Modern Elder Academy,
mm-hmm.
and started by a guy by the name of Chip Conley.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote, his first book was called Wisdom at Work.
Mm-hmm.
And for a number of people on this call, and I have suspected you and me, there's more behind us than in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we want what's in front of us to mm-hmm. map. And so this... this Modern Elder Academy provides all manner of retreats.
You know, I love it.
And whatever, because we, you know, the path changes.
Mm-hmm.
Now what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're the number of people mm-hmm. looking are just wanting to be able to say, yeah, this is it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And that comes back to adaptability and agility, and of course, laughing. But yeah, thinking so, you know, my husband, and we've been married 33 years, so not as much as you and your beloved, but you know, and he is going to retire at the end of the summer. Now he gets to retire early because of, you know, certain things, but yeah, he's going to retire. And so it's going to just totally change our life.
Yeah.
And you know, and the thing I keep saying is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do all day? Because I'm still going to do what I do. I will do that till the day I die. You know, but yeah, what is, you know, so what is he? And he's excited about it.
Mm.
You know, and wants to do a lot of volunteer stuff and things like that. But yeah, you know, it's what is next? And I, you know, I talk about it a lot. I mean, back to COVID, I think a lot of people really did think about that. Is this what I want to be doing for the next year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? And for many people, that answer was no.
And that's true, which is why we saw the, what they called it, the quiet resignation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Down and out. So the word that I like is I don't want to retire.
Mm-hmm.
I want to refire.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. that's what I would mm-hmm. like to do.
Right. Yeah. You know, and it is, it's just the next chapter, right? You know, now he's been with his company for little over 37 years. Oh yeah. You know, I'm waiting for the gold watch. That'll be fun. Of course it won't exist, but, which that is very unique though, right? Because so many people change. What do they say? Now I think I heard a stat that said every 18 months, that seems a little short. Every 2 years would be, you know, and either external or internally. I mean, sometimes you have the great opportunity to change where, you know, within an organization, but it's, to me, that is this whole process. I mean, you know, we're learning what is next for us? How am I going to make a difference?
And you know, there's another thing. Let me just add a postscript to what you mm-hmm. said about your husband. And I owe this to Chip Conley. This mm-hmm. word is, we are modern elders.
Mm-hmm.
And by modern elders, that means we have wisdom to share.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not that we have to go learn a bunch of new things,
mm-mm.
but there are a number of people out there that they could be the senior, the wisdom guy, you know, the person who sits at the top and says, here's what I've observed. Here's what I have learned. So you become wisdom workers. And I love that notion that you don't have to, you know, goodbye, sayonara, see you later, alligator. But we're wisdom workers.
Yeah. And share that wisdom with the younger generations. You know, be the mentors, be whatever. And, you know, and for the youngsters that are listening, hello, we aren't just old. You know, we do have that wisdom, but we need to hear from them too, right? I need them to explain AI to me.
So here's the new word. It's mentorn. We're mentors and we're interns. So we're both mentors with what we've known, our life experience, our work experience. But intern, I don't understand AI. It's me. I couldn't figure out what was wrong, why I couldn't get my Zoom to work for you.
How do I set the clock on my VCR? That was one of the ones from the program.
Oh, well, that's an old one. VCR, you just dated yourself.
I did. But yeah, I mean, and it's just, and it is about, I think one of the big things about being resilient, and you mentioned it, we live every day, right? You know, my expiration date probably got moved up when I got my diagnosis. Who knows? I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. But, you know, it is, how are we going to live today? And what is the difference we're going to make? My mom passed away in March. And she, now this will give you an idea of what she was like. She's very organized, right? So she had everything written down. This is what I want for my funeral. And she'd had it written down for years. And she had that she wanted the Frank Sinatra version, and it said that of "I Did It My Way." Right? Now the church refused. I was very annoyed. But yeah, I mean, you know, the day before she passed away, she was at Walmart, she was at Praise and Prayer, and she had lunch with friends, and the next day she was gone by noon. And it was just like, okay, fine.
I have to ask you, did she have a heart attack?
She did. Yeah. And, you know, and it was one of those, but, you know, like the doctor, you know, she's in the ER and he tells her, we'd like to give you some morphine. And she said, oh, no, I don't think so. And he said, well, is there a reason you don't take morphine, thinking it's an allergy or something? And she said, well, I don't want to become an addict. And he said, oh, honey, that's not going to be a problem. But yeah, I mean, it is about how are we going to live every day? You know, and maybe because I have, you know, gone through what I have, I don't want my headstone to say, I wish I would have, you know, and bad, you know, it's like the saying says, bad things happen to good people. How do we deal with it? You know, are we going to let us kick us completely down, or are we going to go, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Dust ourselves off and go on. And whether it's that you lose your job or the company shuts down, you know, COVID and all of these various things, how are you going to deal with it?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. In today's environment, you know, you can either stand in the corner and weep because it scares the bejesus out.
Right.
You know, or which is pessimism. Or you can say, oh, well, everything will be just fine. And you let it go.
Yeah.
Or you say, what actions? I choose to make that could influence what I want for my family, for my nation. What are the actions that I'll take? I could do that.
Right. I love it. Well, oh my gosh, Eileen, we've only got about 5 minutes left. So see, and this is obviously why I set this timer, because we would be going forever. And it just means we have to have you on again, because I wouldn't get through all my notes.
By the way, hey, time out. Let me just say thank you. You are one of the few interviewers who spent time on my website knowing who I am.
See, I loved it. I didn't get a chance to read your book, any of your books.
You tell me what you want. Give me the address. I'll mail it to you. But seriously, I can't tell you the number of interviewers who have really no clue who I am. They look at something fast. Or I get the emails that said, well, we want to do work. And they have no, you know, they don't know what.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this, your program 978. So I've been doing it a while. but you know, it's And through a lot of changes, right? You know, we used to be a live program, then we did it on Skype, and then I moved. And all sorts of things and had to learn new technology. And part of this is still, I'm trying to figure some of this out, but it's great fun. But for the people who are going, we need you, Eileen. Where do they find you and what are the services that you provide?
Okay. First off, if you can spell my name, you can find me. I am the only Eileen MacDar since my grandmother died in the universe. Mm-hmm. So just go www.eileenmacdar, which I'm sure you're going to have the name on this, or the Resiliency Group. Mm-hmm. Eileen MacDar is actually easier to spell than the result.
Resiliency is one of those hard ones.
Mm-hmm. It is hard. I spell it wrong all the time. Mm-hmm. You will have an idea of who I am, what I do. And I really wear a number of hats, as we talked about earlier. I'm a team facilitation, group facilitation to help groups figure out who they want to be when they grow up. Mm-hmm. I do keynote speaking, which I love, anything from, 15 to 15,000. Mm-hmm. I also coach. Mm-hmm. And when I coach, it is related to leadership. Mm-hmm. Also speech coaching, if you're going to, let's talk about what we can do with that. Mm-hmm. And obviously I write. Mm-hmm. So. Those are the hats. I'm a wordsmith in all the different capacities of that.
I love it. On your website, there's this big button. It says Hire Eileen. And when you hover over it, it says it will be good. I love that. That's so much fun.
That's my web guy.
I love it. I love it. And then, of course, there's all the information in there, phone, email, fill out the form online, all that good stuff. It's gonna, and there's a picture of you and a dolphin. Okay, yeah, we are sisters.
I want to interrupt real quick. Mm-hmm. I decided this must be the 100th version of the website because I've been doing it for so long. I decided I want people to know who I am as a person.
Right.
So why there are things with a dolphin. There's me doing a zip line through Costa Rica.
Climbing a mountain.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I want you to know who I am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And we talk about this a lot on the program. We work with people we know, like, and trust.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But that comes back to all of this that we're saying. When we get to know you as a person, now we're not knowing every detail. I don't need to know what you had for breakfast. But the things that are important are what we need to know. And that's how we form these teams and can get through anything. I love it. Well, do you have any, like I said, we must have you on again because this is just so much fun. but do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
One of Howard Zinn, philosopher, he said, particularly talk about how challenging these times are. And being resilient and being able to grow through as opposed to bounce back. He said, to have hope, one does not need certainty, only possibility. And I like that.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Well, this has been so much fun. I've been having such a fun conversation with Eileen MacDar. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Mwah. Thank you.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.